The following is a podcast from Live It, a ministry of St. Marcus. For more information or for message notes, go to www.liveitmke.org.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. GPS has spoiled us, men. Gone are the days of having to humble ourselves and pull over to get directions, because we just punch the address into the GPS, or we take out, as I still like to call it, our fancy phone. I know it's not really fancy anymore. Almost everybody has a device that has a map on it that can get you to where you want to go. Some of you might still dig out the paper map out of your glove box. But for the most part, the directions become clear, whether it's Siri telling it to you, or it's the nice person next to you who would never insult you and encourage you to get in the right place by simply putting it in here and saying, "See, here's where we're supposed to be going." We all need direction. And I think no matter what point of our life we are in, there is that idea that the directions change on a regular basis. It's interesting. Right now I have a junior in college, or a junior in high school, excuse me. And so what happens in January of your junior year in high school? You start getting a ton of mail. Because there is this impression that the entire world loves you and wants you to come to their college. And I love Kaylin Chevy. And it's true, I believe Kaylin Chevy could do just about anything that she wants. But I have to figure out why Texas Christian University is number one on her list. Because she insists that that is the direction. Well, what are you going to take? I don't know. Texas Christian just sounds cool. They wear purple, and they're the Horned Frogs. Nobody else in the country is the Horned Frogs. And, of course, I'm old and cranky, and MLC Knights and WLC Warriors sound so much easier to me. But you have to realize that there are certain directions that you just can't map out for everyone. I can give guidance and I can give direction, but I can't punch up a little app that says, "Dad's encouragement to child, read it and please do it." Instead, we have to look for outward signs. We have to look for things that are going on around us in order to appreciate what's going on and how things are constantly in limbo. When I was a junior in high school, even though I was going to pre-ministry high school, I didn't think I was going to go into the ministry. Even when I was in pre-ministry college, I didn't think I was going into the ministry. One of my colleagues, who had been in the ministry for about 15 years at the time, I asked him, "When did you know you wanted to go into the ministry?" And he said, "About 10 years ago." He had been in the ministry for 5 years, and he still wasn't sure if that was the direction that God would have him be in for his entire life. Now, think about that. Whether we are 12 or 22 or 32 or 62, we're thinking to ourselves, "Lord, what is next? What do you have in store for me?" You see, we think we have our plans all laid out. We think we've got it all figured out. But really, it is Jesus who gives us the direction, that we are to follow his paths. And all too often, we need Jesus to simply do his job. And he's the one who guides, and he's the one who moves, and he's the one who gives us purpose for our life. We just have to let him direct our traffic. In my previous life in St. Louis, I had a member who was a state patrolman, and one of the tasks of the state patrol was to converge on Saturday afternoons in Columbia for University of Missouri football games to help out with security and to direct traffic. And I remember him just being out there in the middle of the street, and all he's got is a whistle and shiny black boots and a uniform. And he's out there, and he's just swinging it, and he's going here, and he's holding them back, and he's bringing the pedestrians across. He had the power. Now, I do a lot of arm swinging and a lot of flailing, but I realize I don't have much power. I think maybe if I get a little more excited, or maybe if I do things in this certain special way, that's going to make it the best and the greatest, and certainly God is going to know and understand that I'm serious. This is the time. This is when I seize the day. But I have to back off and realize that our Savior leads us to the exact place that He wants us. Because right now there's probably a good chance that you are in a spot that you never would have expected, maybe that you don't like, and you're wondering, why, Lord? Give me a new purpose and give me a new direction. Maybe you are in that place where you have the job that you've always dreamed of. You're high on life and you're excited and you're enthused and you hope that you can do it for the next 50 years. But maybe the Lord has something better in store for you. I think that's one of the cool things about ministry. And you're going to have the benefit of having a brand new pastor in a couple of weeks. And in our ministry, there is that understanding that we're never supposed to be looking at the outside thinking, where could I use my talents in a different place, and could it be a better place? Because, as they say, the grass can be always greener on the other side. But when I had a call, whenever I received the call, I always looked at it as an opportunity to do something great in one place or to do something great in another place. I could never imagine leaving my congregation in Darden Prairie, Missouri, just west of St. Louis. And I had 10 opportunities to leave it. But it was one of those things where whenever I put everything side by side and I prayed, Lord, give me the direction, it always led back to apostles in Darden Prairie. And it was interesting because there were those times when I would mutter and complain that nobody else helps enough and nobody does enough and I'm overworked and I'm underappreciated and I'm underloved. And it's always that interesting thing when you receive that call on the telephone and that divine call that's on a piece of paper and God says, okay, you who are so smart, put your money where your mouth is. Because I've got a plan for you. I've got you here for a purpose and a reason. I need you west of St. Louis for some reason. 3 years ago, the Lord said, I need you to serve college students in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I said, okay, Lord, you're carving out that new path. You're giving me new purpose. 6 months ago, the Lord said, I need you to serve a congregation on North Avenue. And I said, okay, Lord. All of these different, in spite of the fact that it would seem that we should be ready for change, it's never easy. And we never know what it's going to look like when we delve into it. But what we can always be assured of is that Jesus has our best interest in mind. And that when He moves and He changes us and He directs us, He takes us exactly where He wants us. Jesus in His ministry came face to face with numerous people. People who were blind and people who were crippled, people who were deaf, people who were bleeding, people who had died. And today we hear about a person who was demon-possessed. Now, we could probably get into a big discussion about whether demon possession is a real thing. Does Satan, do demons enter into our body and make us do things that are dangerous to ourselves and dangerous to others? But there's a certain reality that nobody wants to admit. We're all demon possessed. We're all possessed at a certain level to do things that are contrary to God's will. We had those 10 commandments laid out there oh so eloquently. And it would seem, boy, here are 10 things. This is all I have to do. This should not be that difficult. And yet we realize that every single day, we have a hard time keeping God as our number one priority. You shall have no other gods. You shall not have idols. Well, we can constantly say, well, I don't have a little wood statue or a little piece of metal. But how often don't we set ourselves up on that pedestal and say, okay, God, you submit to my will and my purpose and let me do what I want? Does our job or our family or our recreation or money, does it become all-consuming for us that we kind of shuffle God out of the way? Don't misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day. We touched on many of these last week already. And here we had it tonight. Now do it. Your life will be fulfilling. There is purpose there. And yet we want to fulfill all too often our own purposes. Now, we might not run out in the streets naked if we look at the text, and I won't read every single verse. We might not run out in the streets naked. We might not have super, super magnificent strength when we are chained that we can just unleash and break those chains. But Satan works on us, and Satan works overtime on us. The people who don't love Jesus, who outright hate him and reject him, well, Satan has kind of already won the victory, so he's not too concerned about them. But the people who maybe are out there asking questions, well, I'm kind of curious about this Jesus. Does he really change lives? Can he really give me a new purpose? Well, he's going to do everything he possibly can to get in your way because he wants to hold on to you. He doesn't want you to go to the other side. Maybe this is the first time you've been here in a long time. That's a reason to rejoice and celebrate. You have been moved by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is all-powerful. Maybe you are wondering, is there a different purpose that I need to be seeking? Well, the place you need to go first isn't to your parents or your spouse or your special friends, but go to God's Word. Now, he doesn't come out and say, here's the college you should go to, here's the job you should take, here's if you should take on a new expense, get a different roommate, rent a different apartment, move to a different city. He doesn't tell us that, but he says, I am looking out for you. Don't let Satan consume you. Don't let the things that are born internally, our gut, override us. I don't know how often it is you feel emotional when you come to worship. We're not always very emotional. Sometimes music moves us. Sometimes the message moves us, or just the reading, it moves us. But really what has to move us is the fact that Jesus loved us enough to take our place, to purge us of all of our sins and give us the assurance of forgiveness and the peace that comes with that and the joy that I pray then continues to dwell within all of you. Because you've got, you might say, the ones that Satan's already conquered, but there's still a chance. We still witness, we still invite, we say, you got to hear, this is really important. The only way to salvation is through Jesus. You got the people who are seeking and questioning and wondering, what is there real value in this? And then you've got those who are maybe proud and boastful of their faith. Yes, I'm strong. But we saw guys like Peter who would fail and then at the time of testing would deny knowing Jesus. Those are the ones that Satan is going to continue to poke and prod and try to get us. Yeah, because we're all here, I'll say get us to kind of question and wonder, are you there? Are you listening? Jesus, do you have me in your mind when all of these things are happening to me? And the answer is yes. Now, there's no such thing as coincidences in the Bible. Jesus is in just the right place at just the right time. I've heard the term called God incidences. You know, every incidence is established by God, and he shows up at just the right place at the right time. Jesus shows up in the territory. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. And when Jesus stepped ashore, he's met by a demon-possessed man from the town. He goes there because he knows that man's going to be there. And he goes there because he's going to help that man. And he goes there because he knows that this man needs a change. He is in danger for body and soul, naked, sleeps in caves where there are dead bodies, doing things that would be somewhat scary. But as you look at this text, you'll also realize that when Jesus casts out the demons, where do they go? They go into pigs. The Jews at that time didn't hang out with pigs. They were considered unclean animals. They were considered things that needed to be avoided according to God's law of the Old Testament. And so he's going to not God's chosen people, but he's going to a man who is in need in an area and a territory where the one true God wouldn't be spoken of and where the Savior was needed. Jesus was the transition, you might say, from taking the word of the Old Testament that was established for God's chosen people of Israel, and now he's starting to extend his love and his mission and his purpose to completely new places, to change hearts in the Gentiles, the people of that time, the non-Jewish people, the people of two millennia now, that this would be the gift that comes to us. And Jesus shows his power, and Jesus shows his victory. There are many demons inside this man. How many? Who are you called? Legion. Why? Because there's so many demons in him. And he casts them out. And they recognize what their destination is, that it's back to the abyss, that it's back to hell, that it's back to the worst possible place that you can think of. And so he cast them out. One of my colleagues, bad jokester, said this might have been the first case of swine flu. Poor. Yeah, you can groan. I did too. The demons entered the pigs and went off a cliff. And how did people respond? They didn't say, "Hallelujah." This guy who was demon-possessed and acted so strangely and so dangerously, now was sitting at Jesus' feet trying to learn and trying to grow and appreciating him. What did they want? They wanted Jesus to go away. We are afraid of you. We don't understand you, and we don't understand your purpose. Do we feel that way? Do we feel sometimes that we're so sinful that we don't deserve God's mercy and God's favor? That because we don't understand it, it would seem that it would be better to separate ourselves from them. Maybe you have loved ones who feel that way as well. Dear friends, we need to be the inviters and the encouragers. Come on, come and see, come and hear. Listen to what God has done for me. See how Jesus has directed my traffic and changed my path and given me hope for this life and then for eternal life. This man knew what Jesus had done for him, this special gift. He had set him free. As was described before, the fact that we are no longer consumed by our sin, but we have been set free. Jesus broke those chains, and we're no longer slaves to sin, but we're slaves in a good way to righteousness. We now live for Jesus. We're reminded in our Galatians passage that we are justified. We are declared not guilty because of what Jesus has done. And so with this new life and this new attitude, This man does the obvious thing. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. Ah, Jesus, you've changed it all for me. I want to go with you. I want to be part of your inner circle. I want to serve you and praise you and tell people along the way what you've done. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. This guy thought he had his new direction all laid out, and his plan would be to walk next to his Savior every day. And yet Jesus said, I have a unique and a special purpose for you. You're to go and let other people know, the people who were most intimately connected to you, the people who would know you the best, that they would be able to see that light of salvation that is in your heart, so that those people could see, wow, what a remarkable change. This man who was so strange and ugly and feared, no doubt, in the community, well, we would believe is now at peace and calm and clothed. That something new has taken place, something special. And that now the purpose of this man is to share the good news with the people he is most intimate with. Dear friends, our lives crisscross and go in a number of different directions. I've had the privilege of coming into St. Marcus Church and coming into the lives of many people here. And I'll still be around, but not as often. And we'll come and we'll go and we'll pass each other. And we might not always understand what the Lord's purpose is for us, because 6 months from now, a year from now, 6 days from now, we don't know what the Lord has in store for us. But when we rely on Jesus as our Savior, we don't have to be afraid of the path. And while we are on this path, may our purpose to be to bring glory and honor to God. It happens through obedience to Him. But it also comes to us in the recognition that when we don't obey, when we fail, that Christ has died for a reason. Because He loves you, and He wants you to live forever with Him in heaven. And He paid for the sin of every single person. May it be our purpose to follow Jesus' instruction. As Jesus tells us which direction to go, return home. Tell how much God has done for you. May this be our joy, and may this be what drives us and motivates us and moves us. Yes, we want to become more closely connected to Him, tied to Him, joined to Him as we read His Word, as we come to worship, as we share the good news with more and more people. Dear friends, you might think that your life is an ever-changing map, but Jesus has His direction laid out for you. Just listen to Him. Follow His direction. Amen.